This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Americans eat everything. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. British Prime Minister Theresa May is meeting with her German counterpart. She's looking for political support, given that the UK still isn't even close to clear about how it will leave the European Union. Rob Watson is the UK political correspondent for the BBC. Good morning.
David, good to be with you. It's going to be challenge me to try and help you with this, but I'll do my best.
So lots of politics, but also just the practical problem of extricating the UK from the EU system. It's my understanding that the British government is working on a plan that would get them around some of the import duties that might be cumbersome for UK trade.
What Britain used to have, or does have at the moment, with the European Union is a customs union and also membership of a single market. Now, Britain has said it somehow wants to leave. Basically, what's being proposed is that Britain would continue to share rules and regulations with the European Union, at least as far as manufactured goods and agricultural products are concerned, but maybe not over services. But of course, just to step back from all of this, I mean, what people are saying who were on the Remain side during the referendum, and of course, the vast majority of businesses in the UK are saying, is that just shows you how daft and difficult it is to leave the European Union.
It's been over 2 years since the Brexit vote. They're still working this out. It just goes on forever, I guess.
It is utterly incredible. I mean, look, to the intense irritation of British businesses, the UK government just hasn't managed to agree on what Brexit should mean. The governing Conservative Party, but I should also add the main opposition Labour Party, are just hopelessly divided on either how close or how distant Britain's future relationship with the EU should be.
Rob Watson, UK political correspondent for the BBC. Thank you very much.
Thank you, David.
Checking my live market screens here, the FTSE in London is up 0.5%. Stock index futures for the U.S. are up about 0.6% each. Pharmaceutical giant Pfizer this week raised prices on about 40 of its drugs, Lipitor for cholesterol, Viagra went up too. Dan Gorenstein reports.
A little more than a month ago, President Trump declared that some of the big drug companies are, quote, going to announce voluntary massive drops in prices. Since then, more than 50 drug makers have actually raised prices, according to data from Elsevier's Gold Standard Drug Database. Rachel Sachs is a professor of law at Washington University.
The drug company's actions show that the administration's rhetoric that it's getting tough has not yet caught up to their actual behavior.
Congressional leaders have joined with the Trump administration to condemn the pharmaceutical industry's business-as-usual practices, like raising prices twice a year. Michael Ray of Rx Savings Solutions believes the more aggressive drug makers get, the more likely Washington will act.
At some point, there's going to be kind of a reckoning of the industry. How and when that plays out, we just don't know yet.
The administration released its plan to rein in drug prices back in May, but these recent price hikes suggest the industry feels no pressure, at least for right now. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Now, if anyone says the big trend in food is fill in the blank, healthy, sustainable, sugary, salty, well, guess what? They're all right at the same time. At the Aspen Ideas Festival in Colorado the other day, I spoke with the guy who does Cheerios and Lucky Charms, but he also does Cascadian Farms and Annie's Organic and Bugles. Jeff Harmening is CEO of General Mills.
Well, of course, there are trends in food. I think the main thing that makes it complex is that people are complex. And when you multiply that by 350 million Americans, you have a lot of complexity. And so you have several trends going on at one time. I mean, on the one hand, consumers want to eat more things with fewer ingredients. They want to stay fuller longer, so they're eating more protein, eating more fiber. Snacking is on the rise. It's a 25-year trend. And so the thing that makes it tricky and the reason our strategy is consumer first is that consumers want something different in different parts of the day, and between consumers, they want something different.
What if it's not a food thing, but it's a brand thing, that reaching for Cheerios seems to some people like old school, like a cassette tape for your audio. But if you bought another one of your brands, Cascadian Farms, seems more 21st century. Is there any element of that going on?
You know, I really don't think so. Our job is to make brands relevant. And I'll give you an example. Lucky Charms has been around since the early 1960s, and we grew it at 20% this year. What did we do? We talked about marshmallows. And so the job—
So you didn't hide the sugar in it. You said there are marshmallows in this.
We said there are marshmallows because, as it turns out, people who eat Lucky Charms actually like the marshmallows. And so for us as brand builders, our job is to make sure we keep our brands relevant. And to the extent we keep them relevant, they keep growing. I mean, Nature Valley has grown wildly. But so are brands like Annie's and Larabar. So I think people ask me a lot, are consumers looking for small brands? I said, no, they're looking for brands that reflect their values. And that could be Cheerios, or that could be Annie's, or that could be Lucky Charms.
You know what is changing, though, is the retail environment. And does General Mills have to adjust or respond when you see the story crossing that the big story from the last 2 years, Amazon buying, say, Whole Foods? Does that change your life?
I think the biggest change we're going to see in food over the next 5 years is the way food is delivered. And so by necessity, then retail is going to change. And that's true in the United States. That's true in China. That's true in France and the UK. And we have a global business. We see all this. We have been changing. And what's interesting is that I hear a narrative about how food companies are going to be in trouble as food goes online, and yet our market shares online are about 20% higher than our market shares in store. And the reason for that is that great brands travel across different mediums. And so for us, e-commerce we see as a big opportunity. Yes, it's dynamic. Yes, we have to adjust, but we are. And that's why our sales last year through e-commerce channels were up 50% globally and 70% here in the U.S.
What about if we stop preparing food for ourselves completely? We have these companies that are emerging, DoorDash, Grubhub. It's an app-based way to get restaurant food quickly to you. That could take away from what General Mills does.
There are only two places you can eat food, and that's at home or away from home. And you know, we have good businesses in both. We have a good convenience and food service business away from home, and we've got a big business in home. And those are really the only two places people can eat. And so as different models develop, I mean, we'll make sure that we take advantage of them, just like we have over the years, whether it's selling yogurt to people like McDonald's or whether it is selling Cheerios through grocery stores or pet food through places like Chewy.com.
Jeff Harmening, CEO of General Mills. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Now, I did take the opportunity to ask if I could veto just one of his products, Bugles. Ugh. Mr. Harmening defended Bugles, and another guy on his team pointed out that you can use the little dunce caps to make hats for your fingers. Later today, a director's cut of that interview, streamable at marketplace.org, and you're welcome to object to my hard line against Bugles. Tweet us at Marketplace. This is the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.